Christmas is just around the corner. Maybe you talk about abortion, maybe you don't. Here's how to talk about abortion during the Christmas season. Stay tuned. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Pro-Life Guys podcast, a show dedicated to equipping you with the tools that you need to have compassionate and compelling conversations about abortion so that together we can change minds, save lives, and transform our culture. My name is Cam. I am the host of the show. I hope that Christmas preparations are coming along well for all of you. Whether Christmas is a big to-do in your house, whether it's a small to-do, maybe it's not a to-do at all. I know that we got a diverse audience out there. For many people, they're going to be celebrating some capacity of a holiday in the next few days, few weeks, that kind of thing, depending on when you're listening to this episode. And I get asked, surprisingly often, how do you talk about abortion during Christmas? And I think that it's a really interesting question. I have a lot of, I'm going to turn my screen for those on YouTube, for those who are just tuning in from a podcatcher, this is going to be lost a little bit on you. I'm going to turn towards this great bookshelf that I have here. I have great pro-life resources from a lot of people that have passed them on to me from different pro-life offices, many that I've picked up of my own accord, all that kind of thing. One of the great pro-life books that I have, I'll drop it in the show notes below, is called Persuasively Pro-Life by Trent Horn. Some people may be familiar with him. He's got a big YouTube following, and he's written a number of very good books, some of them about the Catholic faith, Persuasively Pro-Life about the pro-life movement. And he's got a great chapter that I know that I've referenced a number of times before on the show called Don't Be Weird. Don't be weird. And I feel like pro-lifers, this is something, especially come holiday time, dare I say, is something that we should be mindful of. Every family is different. I get that. I get that people have different customs within their family. Some people love talking about controversial things, and it's totally normal to open the door on Christmas morning and be like, oh, Auntie Cindy, welcome. What do you think about abortion? That might be your family. That might be your family. That's not my family. That's not most people's families, I dare to say. And dare I go even a step further, that might not be your family, even if you want it to be your family. Don't be weird. Don't necessarily feel like you need to ram abortion into every single conversational opportunity that you have. Especially with family, right? That we end up doing CCPR activism and outreach, whether our street corner displays, whether our door knocking, relatively close to Christmas. We're not going to do it on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, that kind of thing. But we often go up until the week before Christmas, that kind of thing. Because we have a high degree of urgency, we don't have a ton of opportunities to talk to people about abortion. We're trying to reach as many people as possible. People within your sphere of influence, you do have a different kind of opportunity with, though, that you could have conversations with them at a multitude of different points in life, whether it's at Christmas, whether it's not at Christmas. You have some kind of an open door relationship with them that you can engage on different topics, whether they be something like abortion, whether it's something much more lighthearted. You have a pre-existing relationship. And so the first thing that I want to suggest when it comes to having conversations about abortion over the Christmas season is to be mindful of when you're having them. How prepared are you? How prepared is somebody else? And how is this conversation coming about, right? That while CCBR and many other pro-life organizations are doing our proactive outreach, we just launch into a conversation. What do you think about abortion? And that might not make sense, and that might actually limit your opportunities to have meaningful conversations about abortion if you do that in a way that your family deems inappropriate. If you're launching into this while serving the Christmas turkey kind of thing, and your family's like, oh, okay, Cam's weird. I don't want to talk to Cam at all over this Christmas period because I'm worried that he's going to talk about something weird with me. Therefore, Cam, you have lost your privilege of talking about weird stuff because you chose the wrong moment. And now I have people avoiding me for the rest of Christmas. Now people are not wanting to be in conversation with me. And it's going to be much harder to have productive and meaningful conversations about abortion if people are running away and I'm dashing after them. I'm sure there's memes that could be inserted at this point. And so the first rule of thumb is allow the other person to start it off, right? And that doesn't mean some like crazy ninja judo in conversation. Hey, Cam, how are you? I'm good. I'm not good, actually, because 100,000 babies were killed in Canada this year. Let's talk about it. Maybe that, again, is too abrupt. Maybe that's too weird for people in your family. I know that'd be too weird for a lot of people in my family. And so it's not just letting people bring it up of their own accord and just using any opportunity. Hey, what are you thinking about these days? What are you reading these days? And like, I'm reading about abortion. Let's talk about it. Maybe having a softer entry. So that's the first suggesting, knowing when and how. So the when is maybe starting off when somebody brings it up themselves. I would say that's point one. Point two can be you can bring it up, but whether you bring it up or whether you respond to one of their thoughts, I would suggest a soft opening rather than a hard opening. And what I mean by that, it's often just a matter of adding, whether it's a few extra words, whether it's an extra sentence or two, to kind of frame things that give you a smoother entry point. And so again, if it's a matter of, hey, what have you been up to this year? Instead of, I've been volunteering a lot for a pro-life organization, what do you think about abortion? It might be, hey, what have you been up to this year? You know what? I've been doing a lot of different things. You know, I've obviously got school and I've got work on the go. One of the new things that I've been doing, which might seem kind of out there, is I've actually been doing some volunteering with a pro-life organization. And let that stand and see how they're going to respond to that. And if they say, oh, well, cool, how's school going? Well, I don't want to talk about school. I want to talk about abortion. Don't be weird. Don't be weird. That's not how conversations generally go. If you didn't end with a, hey, I'm in school and I'm working part-time and whatever, and they say, oh, where are you working? Oh, I don't want to talk about where I'm working. I want to talk about my school. That as well would be weird, in my humble opinion, and by a lot of social standards and whatnot. And so don't force the conversation too heavily, but feel free to draw it back. You know what? School's been great. School's been really cool. I've been learning lots. I've been really enjoying my micro econ or my psychology or my English lit and this kind of thing. And you know what? It's been interesting talking with people in my class about the pro-life volunteering that I've been doing, because obviously that's way out of a lot of people's point of reference. And with everything going on south of the border, I think that this is also an interesting opportunity, and you're going to flirt with a very polarized conversation. I don't know where your family's at on Trump and other political components, but I have a whole episode that I'll drop in the show notes below on how to navigate Trump in your conversations. These are good entry points. You know what? There's been a lot going on this year, and it's been crazy watching the news, following the election south of the border, following conversations about abortion. I feel like maybe it's just the YouTube channels and the algorithms that I'm seeing, but like I'm seeing a lot of people with a lot of pretty polarized commentary on abortion. And it's been interesting volunteering with this pro-life group that tries not to take a super polarized and super hostile approach on abortion. It's been really cool getting more involved with this group. And it's interesting how many people, I don't know if it's quite bait or manipulation, but just general human interest and politeness even at times. Like, oh yeah, like what's the pro-life group? Or what do you do with your pro-life group or whatever? And like, oh, well, you know what? We do a lot of outreach. We talk to a lot of people about where they're at on the abortion issue, if they support it all the time, some of the time, none of the time. And we try to talk to them, see if there's particular circumstances in which they think abortion might be okay, or maybe they have a hard time accepting that a preborn human is really a living member of the human family or something like that. And I don't know, like where are you at on this whole thing? And so like that's a soft entry, in my opinion, into the abortion conversation. Here's my experience from the year. We're kind of sharing our experiences, we're sharing our interests, we're sharing our passions. This is what I'm thinking, and I'm going to try to read them, body language and whatever they're saying to me. Are they interested in having this conversation now? And if not, what is my opportunity in the future to have conversations, not only with this person, but with people that this person may influence, right? If you're talking to that outspoken and gets her fingers into everything aunt or uncle or whomever, and you say, okay, well, if this blows up, then this person is taking their family and leaving, and we're no longer, my family is no longer going to be invited over to their house and all this kind of stuff. Maybe that's actually losing you an opportunity to have meaningful conversations about abortion. And so reading the room and reading the person you're talking to when it comes to your soft entry into the abortion conversation. So that's number two. So one being, when do you do it? Two being, how do you do it? Three being, how far do you do it? And again, as I've talked about on the show before, I think that we need to have a slightly different approach when it comes to people within our spheres of influence, knowing that we will, Lord willing, have future opportunities to continue the conversation. Whereas when we're at outreach, in all likelihood, I'm never going to see the person that I'm talking to again, right? Like, sure, divine providence might bring them into my path again, and I might knock on the same person's door by accident. Maybe I knock on their door one day and they come by my choice chain display on another day or something like that. It's not very frequent that that happens. Just anecdotally, I have very few people who do that. And I think that you're, because that happens so seldomly, we have an added incentive to try to get as far through the roadmap as we possibly can, maybe even pushing somebody outside of the realm of social practice kind of thing, saying, hey, you know, I get that you don't want to have this conversation, and yet there's 300 children being killed every day in Canada. And what would we be doing if their unborn kids were being killed every day? Would we be able to just avoid that conversation because it makes us feel uncomfortable? That might be something that you would say at a doorstep or on a street corner or something like that. That probably isn't how firm you want to push when it comes to a conversation with somebody that you have a meaningful relationship with and an ongoing relationship with, because they might not respond favorably, and you might lose that opportunity in the future to further that of like, no, I don't want to talk about this, stop talking about it. And then they start avoiding you at social functions and they don't come to your wedding or something like that. You might have opportunities. This is where, in my opinion, again, the roadmap has tremendous value. We've done episodes and we'll do more episodes on how to manage conversations, how to end conversations, and to be able to summarize your conversation and then give an action item. Hey, you know what? Like, I feel like we're probably going to get called away to help out with dinner here. I feel like we're probably going to have to move on to other things. Hey, I don't really want to talk about abortion anymore. Hey, I get that. I just to make sure that I got it in my head, I feel like we've talked a little bit about the hard circumstances that mothers and fathers are faced with. And you know what? Generally speaking, when I'm talking to somebody in the pro-life outreach that I do, the next thing I want to talk about is when human life begins. I get that maybe that doesn't make sense to talk about right now. And so maybe if you want to check out When Human Life Begins on your own, or maybe we talk about it at another time, we can do that. But yeah, let's talk about something different. Let's talk about your work. Let's talk about what else we have going on. Let's go help mom carve the turkey. Let's do whatever. Having a roadmap allows you to know where you're at in the conversation, where you've come from, and where you're going next. And so you can summarize that very efficiently, generally. And then you can say, hey, often we talk about this, or often when I'm talking to people who have brought up similar things, we end up talking about this. Like, maybe that's something to think about. And maybe one day we'll talk about it more. And if you can be proactive, like, let's not be weird about this. Like, I'm not going to bring it up every time we talk about it. Maybe we can both kind of read the room and see if it makes sense to talk more about this. But I would be interested in talking more about it if ever you want to, whether we go for coffee, whether we talk on the phone, whether we find another time to kind of talk through this. Because I think it's important that, again, this conversation doesn't need to be entirely political or super hostile or whatever. Like, I love to just, like, talk through things and wrap my head around where you're at and maybe share a little bit about where I'm at, something like that. Not super firm. I'm sure some of you listening be like, oh, Cam, be firm, be bold. I think that maybe, yeah, you've got a little bit of range to be more bold than that. But I also want to encourage you and invite you to prayerfully consider how bold you can be without hindering future conversations, whether about abortion, whether about other things. If this becomes something that you've closed doors either for a short period of time, maybe even a long period of time, or maybe even permanently with the person you're talking to and maybe even others, maybe that isn't the most strategic approach to conversations with particular people in your family. So maybe you don't have a little notebook in which you have a whole game plan for every single person, like a NFL football coach might have, how you're going to game plan all of your relatives over Christmas break. But to summarize again, one, think about when you're going to do it. Find a time that actually makes sense and isn't super weird. How are you going to do it? I would suggest having a softer open than you otherwise would, and kind of inviting them to reflect upon this and inviting them into the conversation, and maybe not pushing quite as hard as you would with somebody on a doorstep or a street corner. And third and finally, this is something that you may very well need to wrap up before the end of the conversation. You may not push as hard as you otherwise would. And if that's the case, then to be able to summarize, you know, like, hey, I think it's great that we talked a little bit about this hard circumstance, about that hard circumstance, about this important principle, whatever. Maybe we got into the humanity and we talked a little bit about whether or not they're actually living human, or maybe you even got into the personhood of, we talked a little bit about even whether killing human beings based on how old they are is any different or any better than killing them for any other reason. Let's pick this up another time. Let's not be weird about it and like find a time that makes sense for both of us. But I would love to continue talking about this and thinking about this, because obviously there's a lot at stake when it comes to whether or not I'm a big prick or whether or not we're killing a ton of human beings in our country. So let's pick it up sometime in the future. And thanks a ton. And then if you can be the initiator of the next thing, let's go and do this. Let's talk about this. Let's do something else, so that there is a smooth pivot and not a big awkward silence. And then you both kind of stare at your drinks for a little bit, and what is left in their mind is an awkward moment. And oh, I don't want more awkward moments with Cam. There's enough of them already. It's something that, you know what, this person was natural, was normal, was engaging. Let's do this again. I don't have a negative impression left in my mouth. So often we talk about how what people remember from our conversations is the images of preborn children and how they were treated. And if we can make sure that they were treated well, with respect, with politeness, and with social courtesy, I think that's going to go a long way to opening doors in the future as well. I hope that's helpful. May God bless you abundantly wherever you're at, however many hours are left in your day.